All right, welcome back, and let's get ready to kick off the first learning module for your online video strategy blueprint. A reminder that each module consists of a handful of lessons, resources, and some relevant downloads for the full experience. So be sure to watch each module video in full and engage with the relevant additional resources as we go so that you don't miss anything. Now, module one is all about audience, and there's a very good reason why audience is the first element to the blueprint and an effective online video strategy. You see, it all comes down to a little phrase I've adopted from accomplished online entrepreneur, marketer, and someone I'm pleased to call my friend, Chris Ducker. So he says that the reality is that whether you're in business to business, so B2B, or business to consumer, B2C, it's all irrelevant when we can recognize that all business is actually P2P, that is, people to people. When we understand and respect the fact that business is all about serving others, not our own interests, we can quickly connect the fact that our audience, our target market, our customers, and our client base are the most important element to consider in a marketing strategy. Okay, I know for some of you this may seem obvious or a no-brainer, but the reality is that for so many in business that I come across, they continue to market and create content for what can only be themselves. Not their audience, not their customer, but to serve their own needs first. And this is not where effective online video strategy begins. See, where effective online video strategy does begin, however, is by developing a clear and defined understanding of who is the audience? Who are you trying to talk to? Who are you aiming to influence? Who are you needing to move to action with your content in order to reach a business objective? So, we start by understanding the ideal audience. Now, we're going to get into a bit of marketing jargon here, so are you ready? You've probably heard it before, but the benefit to developing your customer avatars or breaking down ideal client demographics simply cannot be ignored in developing an effective online video strategy. The truth is that if we understand who we're trying to reach and influence with our marketing, and in some cases we need to understand them better than they know themselves, then we're off to a really powerful start. I'm going to step through now a process for identifying and clarifying customer avatars. Now, perhaps you'll use this process to gain clarity on your own audience, or follow the same process as working with your clients to develop their customer avatars. Either way, let me stress this. Know your audience and know them deeply, and you'll be charged for success as you roll on with the rest of the elements to an effective online video strategy. Developing customer avatars is a fine mix between data and creativity, and I love it. The best way to approach this is to base your thoughts on facts, but allow your creativity and imagination to fill out the shadows. Defining a customer avatar requires three key areas: demographics, behaviors, and psychographics. It's also a great idea to always be really specific in this process, building out the profile of one particular imaginary or real customer, not a generic demographic group. So let me walk with you through a template for building out a concise customer avatar for your business or your clients. Now, you'll find this customer avatar template as a workbook download in the resources section for this module. So make sure that you download, save a copy of that, and feel free to use and adapt in whatever way makes sense for you and your business. So what I'm going to do is actually talk you through an example of how to use this template to paint a picture of a clear customer avatar for a client's business. Now, in the first instance, what you'll notice is the avatar template is broken up into three main sections. The first section is basically demographics, which is the surface level information about who that customer that you're trying to reach is. Then we go through to behavior profiling. Now, behavior profiling is all around getting to understand how our customer avatar behaves online and where they hang out and things like that. Really valuable in strategically planning video content. And then the final section is psychographic profiling. And we take a simple approach to really understanding what is making that customer tick. What's keeping them up at night? What are the problems that are, you know, preventing them from achieving the goals that they want to achieve in their business that are relevant to the service or product that you or your business provides? And then the final section is a summary section, which is clarifying everything in earlier stages of the customer avatar template into clear messaging, which enables us to actually take this customer avatar and move forward into planning out strategic online video content for our business with clarity and structure. So as I walk you through an example of how you can fill out this customer avatar template, I'm going to use an example from a customer avatar of a client of ours. Now, this client is actually a financial planner working in the local area. Now, this financial planner is specifically targeting females. That's their target audience. So this first customer avatar that we created alongside this business was for a client named Eliza. Now, naming your avatars, giving them a real name, such as Eliza, makes them easy to think and talk about as you create content. It kind of puts a real person, even if it's a made-up name, it puts a face to that name in a way. It allows you to connect on a more human level with what is effectively a constructed idea of your ideal client. Now, as we work through these, the idea is you want to be where you can basing your customer avatar decision making on what you know of your customers. And in many cases, that is what you know of your real customers. So think about identifying from your existing or past customer base who has been your ideal clients and using them as a basis to form the customer avatar. You may not create your customer avatar 100% based on this person, but using your knowledge of that particular real person is a great starting point to paint a picture of this customer avatar that we're going to use in our marketing. So let's work through this example of Eliza. Now, Eliza is a 33-year-old. Now, that's a very specific age. She's not a 24 to 35-year-old female. She is 33-year-old. She's female and she's married. She has one child who's currently 2 years old. So again, you're noticing that we're being very specific here when we go into these different demographics. We're not just painting a wider picture. By being very clear on who we're talking to, we're able to talk very specifically and understand the language to use to speak to this person. The household income is $180,000. Where they live is Sippy Downs. Now, this is a suburb in Queensland, Australia. Happens to be where my business is based. But the reality is here, what we're looking for is getting really clear and concise on geography. And this does help for targeting and also helping people understand the language to use that is relevant to your target audience. Employment situation, in this case, we are deciding that she's a marketing manager part-time. She's been in the industry and role for many years, and obviously we could fill it out further here to maybe paint a picture of someone who's part-time while their children are young and looking forward to moving back to full-time work when their children are, you know, solidly in primary school, for example. So you can go, you know, deeper than we've gone here. So that's the basic demographics. And the reality is that's where a lot of people stop when it comes to creating a customer profile or a customer avatar. But what we want to do now is to go deeper and to get to know their behaviors. And first of all, we start with how do they search for information? Now, often you can either use your research here or your understanding of a particular market or just speak to people in this target market to find out where they actually search for information. What websites do they go to? You know, how are they actively looking for information that's relevant to the service or product that your business provides? So in this case, we decide that Eliza tends to ask for peers for recommendations when it comes to financial planning, financial help. She obviously makes use of Google search as well as the most popular search engine in the world. She often has referred to books such as a very popular book in Australia is called The Barefoot Investor, which is around personal finance. So it's quite likely that she's read that book in this demographic. Or a similar book such as that, which has actually piqued her interest in finance. So we then go into what social media platforms do they use, and understanding this 33-year-old female, young mother, the idea that she's very active on Facebook and Instagram multiple times per day, and she's pretty much using her mobile first on those platforms. So she's very much a mobile first user. She does use LinkedIn for a professional life, but she is not active on the platform very often. So we understand, based on social platforms that she uses, chances are that Facebook and Instagram are where she spends most of her time. What do they do most when online? So Eliza, we decided that she scrolls the newsfeed, whiling away the time when she's, at home with her children and things like that. She reads articles relevant to interests and family interests. She watches videos on YouTube and Facebook only when they're immediately relevant to her needs. So she's only spending time watching videos on these platforms when it's something that immediately connects to a problem that she is particularly facing or feeling at any given time. We understand that she uses these platforms mostly, or she goes online mostly, to interact with family and friends. So again, you can go a lot deeper with this, paint a much more detailed picture, but we're off to a good start. So what are their favourite blogs or current affairs sites? So here for Eliza, we've identified a few, and in this case, it's Mamma Mia, which is an Australian, current affairs, gossip, sometimes news site. We have e-commerce as well, so she's big into e-commerce. She likes to turn to her favourite e-commerce platforms. We could go deep into that and actually name and research what e-commerce platforms she's most active on. She's big into Etsy, so we identified that for Eliza particularly. She's quite into arts and crafts and homemade and bespoke kind of craft material. So Etsy is one of her favourite platforms. She also regularly engages with the Sunshine Coast Daily, which is a local area news service, her online version of the newspaper, and Urban List, which is a local version of things to do or what's new in the local area. So she's very much focused on things that are going to impact her on a day-to-day basis. Really valuable behaviour information when it comes to trying to reach Eliza through online and digital platforms. So next we go to some psychographic profiling, and here we've painted a picture of Eliza and what's making her tick. So we start with what are her current goals. So for Eliza, she has a mortgage on her own home, so her current financial goals are to pay off the home loan quicker than the 30 years that the bank wants. She wants to feel more in control of her finances day to day. So a pretty common pain felt by these 33-year-old type people like Eliza. So we've identified some pretty clear goals for her. The current challenges for her achieving their goals is she has a lack of knowledge or consciousness over financial control. So she understands that she's not really conscious of what's going on with her finances, and she definitely feels that she needs more education and information around this space. What objections might they raise to purchasing from you? So here we're talking about potential fears that Eliza's feeling: fear of the process of working with a financial planner, fear of being locked into something, fear of exposing their personal finance situation to someone else because it's maybe not as great as she would probably like. We also recognize that the husband is probably not as enthusiastic about seeing a financial planner as Eliza particularly is. So the husband's not particularly wanting to help. That's a potential objection. Feeling that financial advice is for people more wealthy than her. So she's not a particularly wealthy person. We identified that she is ideal for financial advice, but in this particular case, we're recognizing a potential objection is that she might feel it's not for her. So what energizes and motivates Eliza? So it's her family. It's healthy living. It's success. Moving forward. Being active. Feeling in control. She loves handmade and creativity, like we said before. That's the kind of stuff that fires her up. So you notice it's not finances. It's not, personal wealth, although all of those things can be linked to all of those things that energize and motivate her as well. So what makes Eliza anxious or worried? Well, it's really feeling out of control, fear of the unknown, not being able to take care of her family and her future financial health. Again, we can go deeper into all of these things, but here we're tapping on some really clear and important anxiety or worries that are potentially going to be trigger points that will lead Eliza to eventually decide to buy from us. So this is how we can start to get really clear and about the content and the language and how we're going to approach Eliza in order to get her to sit up and pay attention to the message that we have to share. So what experience has Eliza had with your or similar products or services? So here we're thinking specifically about previous experiences or misconceptions or ideas that Eliza has around financial services or financial planning. So we feel she has a lack of understanding. She's had a bad experience in the past with jargon when it comes to finances. So she's been confused or talked down to potentially. And maybe this has been an experience with a bank, for example. She's feeling like she's just a number or that she's potentially being ripped off or taken advantage of. And then finally, to wrap up the customer avatar, we explore what the benefit is that we can be to Eliza. Now, again, we've got a really clear picture of who Eliza is. We need to now apply that information or that idea into getting really clear with the messaging that we need to be reaching Eliza with. So we start with how your business can help them. And we decided that this business, this financial planner business, can actually give her a much better understanding of where she is today. It can set goals for the future and give her a workable roadmap in order to get there. So some really clear ideas about what they actually do to help move Eliza towards achieving those outcomes and goals. And what is the key message that Eliza in particular needs from the business in order to move them to purchase? The message is simple. This is easier than you think. You can do this. So you see, by painting a clearer picture of a customer avatar, we can actually get really strategic about how we actually create content that addresses those ideas that we came up with when it comes to painting a clearer picture of who it is that we're actually talking to. Now, for many businesses, you're going to likely have multiple customer avatars that need to be built out in this way. However, it's important not to go too broad, too wide, or have too many avatars in which any business is attempting to market and sell to. I need you to focus down, be clear on who your ideal target audience is and how you want to show up for them. My suggestion, keep your avatars to two or perhaps three key people you're trying to reach. And remember, there's an editable download of this customer avatar worksheet that goes with this module. So print it out, save it, make good use of that. Now, as we're clear on who we're trying to influence with our video strategy, and we've built out a detailed understanding of who they are, their pain, their desires, and their behaviors online, we're now seriously armed for moving forward towards a highly effective video strategy. So the next lesson in module one, we'll take this understanding and apply it to a little something called the customer journey. And you may not know it yet, but this understanding was a real game changer in my business. So head on over to the next lesson, and let's get into it.